Good afternoon and welcome to the Hitman Hockey Hour, heard every Saturday here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm your host, Brad Curl. We've got a packed show for you. The Calgary Hitmen helping the Veterans Food Bank. We'll give you details on a program that is happening on Sunday. Luke Prokop and Riley Fidler-Schultz will stop by and talk about that. Calgary Hitmen celebrating their 25th anniversary season. Mike Egner patrolled the blue line for four seasons from 2000 to 2004. He'll stop by the program as well. We'll hear from Calgary Hitmen defenseman Lane Toter and even Flames head coach Bill Peters. All of that on the Hitmen Hockey Hour this week. But we begin by looking back to last night. Calgary wrapping up a five-game homestand, but with a loss, 4-3 at the hands of the visiting Tri-City Americans. This one in a shootout. Cochrane Alberta product Connor Bouchard scoring the lone shootout goal to lift the Americans to that 4-3 victory. Big night for Bouchard. He also supplied the tying goal with 21.7 seconds to go to force extra time. And a game that went back and forth. Calgary themselves fighting back in the third period, erasing a 2-1 deficit in the final 6 minutes on markers from Mark Kastelic and Carson Folk. Goaltenders big in this one. Final shots, 49-38 Calgary. Both goaltenders named among the stars. Beck Warm, 46 saves for the Americans. Well, Jack McNaughton turned aside, 35 shots for the Calgary Hitmen. Post-game, the captain, Mark Kastelic, spoke to the media and looks back on a homestand that saw Calgary outshoot their opponents in every single game, but win just once, going 1-3-1.
Games in these five games, what do you want to take away, though, from this homestand onto the road when you guys are, you know, spending some good time together?
Yeah, we had our ups and downs with this homestand. And we had some good moments and some areas where we definitely need to clean up. And, I mean, for the most part, just tonight in particular, is burying, capitalizing on our chances and kind of limiting them with some chances as well. Then just all around, getting a full 60-minute effort every night is something that we really want to carry on the road.
You know, a lot of guys have voices in that room, but is this kind of, this time, an example where the leadership might step up and be a little more vocal, especially to the younger guys, what it does take to finish, especially, like, even in overtime?
A little bit. Like, I know the older guys just try to calm the young guys down and say, like, sorry, we've been here before and stuff like that, but a lot of it's just action, and the way we lead by example is the biggest thing.
What about give us your thoughts on Jack's performance tonight?
Jack had a great game tonight, and he gave us an opportunity to win. That's all you can ask for from a goalie, and I really think hopefully gained a lot of confidence tonight. He made an unreal save in overtime, and I mean, unfortunately, we couldn't back him up tonight.
So I think for kind of a prime example, getting back to your guys' style of game, you know, not doing too much, just keeping it simple and doing the right things?
A little bit. I think throughout the game, we definitely had a lot of opportunities and shots, and the third period we just capitalized. We had a good power play, and that gave us some energy and a quick goal right after too, which was a big emotional goal, and that's also something we can just learn to kind of control our emotions a little bit and not get too high and not get too low as well. And it kind of comes down to just kind of details also on 6-on-5, and they had the goalie pull that's a critical moment in the game, and we just didn't get it done.
And the goals have been kind of hard to come by this last stretch of games compared to the start of the year. Just what's the message to the guys, you know, don't get frustrated or grip the sticks a little tighter than usual?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, where we were last year at this point, it's definitely, it was a lot worse. So I think there's still a lot of time to turn things around, if you say, but it's also important just to kind of get a little bit more urgency and just kind of take care of business as soon as we can.
How big is tomorrow's game against Edmonton to kind of just put this one away and just shift the focus right there, because it is a big Central Division matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be huge. I mean, there's nothing really you need to say to get us fired up for the game. It's just everybody better be going, and it's going to be a fun one too. It's going to be a good battle, and I think we're all looking forward to it.
Thanks, Hitman captain Mark Kastelic. Of course, his team heading out on that six-game road trip that begins tonight in Edmonton. Should be a dandy up at Rogers Place. Calgary 9-5-1-1 on the season. Well, the Edmonton Oil Kings 12-2-3-1. They also played last night and lost in a shootout. Well, recently, the Calgary Hitmen took part in the Hockey Calgary Leadership Day, putting more than 800 minor hockey players through the paces, learning about leadership, sportsmanship, among others. Flames head coach Bill Peters was there. We'll hear from Peters in a moment. But first, Hitman defenseman Lane Toter stops by to not only talk Leadership Day, but also all things Hitman and his third season in the WHL. Lane, we'll get to career game 150 in the WHL and look back on your 3 years in the league in a moment. But I want to talk about Hockey Leadership Day. Hockey Calgary had Hockey Leadership Day this week, and you and the rest of your team was there. Maybe explain what you guys did.
Yeah, well, we took 750 kids and we split them up into groups, and there were guys from the Canucks and a bunch of college teams there, and we were a leader of 15 kids and we took them through the paces, and the military was there and they helped us out and put us through some team builders, and I had lots of fun. It was a fun day. Everyone was getting worked pretty hard and have to think pretty hard, and there were some phenomenal speakers there.
You mentioned the military, and I saw downstairs they had a, I don't know what it would be, maybe an obstacle course? Maybe describe some of the things you had to do.
Yeah, with that obstacle course, they had a weighted body there, and the kids had to put it on the stretcher and carry it through, and it helped with communication and being able to help each other out and switch out when your hands got tired. And yeah, there was a bunch of memorization, and you got to look at some guns that they had. It was a pretty neat day.
There were some binoculars involved too, wasn't there?
Yeah, you had to look around the room and find letters and spell out and descramble a word and spell out leadership.
Tell us about your team. You mentioned you were a mentor. Who was your partner on the Hitmen, and what was your team all about?
Yeah, they let me go by myself. I don't know if that was a good idea, but yeah, I had 16 kids, and they were all really good. They listened pretty well, and yeah, all in all, it was a good day.
Generally, part of team building is coming up with a nickname. Do you guys have to come up with a team name?
Yeah, we didn't get to that part. I don't know if it was just bad leadership by me or what it was, but I don't know. We didn't come up with a good nickname yet that year.
The day closed with the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Bill Peters, talking. As a player, I know you're mentoring young kids, but do you get something from those guest speakers as well? I mean, Peters is coaching in the NHL. You'd like to get to that point. Do you kind of sit back as a mentor of the kids and go, okay, now I can soak some things in?
Yeah, exactly. You kind of step back and you look and you listen to the words he's saying. He's been in the league for quite a few years now, and you just try to soak in whatever you can. He's a very smart man, and he understands what it takes to win, and him talking about games and the scores and the exact plays that happen, I just admire that he can remember all that stuff.
Yeah, indeed. Lane Toter, the Calgary Hitman, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Recently, 150 games in the WHL. You're getting old in this league. How do you look back on that number?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think coming in. Still feels like I'm 17, just playing my first couple games. But yeah, it's crazy to think I've been here for 3 years now. Every year I come back, and it's just crazy to think that I've been here for this long, and I'm lucky that I've spent all 3 years here.
Interesting adjustment for you, because you go from small town Elkhorn, Manitoba, to the big city of Calgary. What was your first impressions when you arrived in this city going, oh boy, this is a big stage?
Yeah, I was rooming with Zach Huber, and we would always drive right under the tower, and we realized how big it was, and we also realized he was from a small town too, and we realized how bad the traffic was. And that kind of put a damper on our day most days. But yeah, it's been pretty special to spend it all in Calgary.
To play at the Saddle Dome, does that still give you a burst of excitement? You know, next door neighbors are the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, for sure. We get good fans here, and when we can sell out and get lots of fans here, it's crazy.
Your game, how has it changed from that nervous rookie defenseman as a 17-year-old to now, the 3 years later, the 19-year-old veteran on the blue line?
Yeah, I'm starting to get more confident. Confidence is huge when you come into the league young. You don't really know what to expect, and I've been lucky, and I've had great leaders on my team that have been able to help me and show me the way to become a leader myself.
Tell us about your D partner this year, who you're playing with and your relationship.
Yeah, I'm with Krebsy this year, and he's a little bit older than me. He's a veteran, been in the league for 5 years now, but yeah, he's really good. He's good to talk to on the bench, and yeah, he's always has some weird stories or funny stories, but he's a phenomenal guy.
On the ice, do you guys talk a lot, you know, when one guy's open or maybe you see pressure coming that he doesn't, that you help him out with?
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's been in the league long enough that he knows that the only way to get through it is talk. And so we talk on the bench, we talk on the ice, we sometimes talk a little bit too much. It's pretty fun, though.
Tell me about your goaltenders, because as a defenseman, they can help you a lot by moving pucks, or you can help them by, you know, letting them know maybe where there's a loose puck in the crease. Do you have a big conversation on the ice with both Jack McNaughton and Braden Peters?
Yeah, they like to talk, and Petey's kind of starting to come out of his shell now, but yeah, you just kind of talk, and I've never, like, ever since I got to Calgary, all the goalies have been able to move the puck, and it helps that you can just go in the corner and they can get it to you, and it's an easy breakout. You see NHL goalies do it all the time, and it's good that our goalies can do that.
I want to ask you about some of the things behind the scenes. So, warm-up, we all know that before you hit the ice, you go through an off-ice warm-up to kind of get the body going. When you get onto the warm-up ice with pucks before the game, is that an important part for you, or how do you treat an on-ice warm-up?
Yeah, I think that's when you start to get your hands going, feet going, get into the game, start visualizing what you have to do. And I've kind of learned over the years that you have a little weird things that you do and kind of try to follow the same things just so then when the puck drops, you're ready.
Do you hear the music? Because I'm always curious about this. That's the only time of the game that music goes is during warm-up. Do you even hear it down there?
Yeah, I hear it. I love the music. I sing along sometimes. I don't know. I'm a huge music guy, always listening to it in my vehicle, so whenever I can sing along to a song, I will.
We won't ask you to sing here, but who do you listen to? Who are some of the bands or artists that you kind of relate to and go, I like that song?
I don't know. I used to be a huge country guy. Still am, but I've started to get into the more dance music, that kind of stuff, the DJs, and I don't know, I kind of like it.
So after a win, usually music comes on in the dressing room. Who controls the music, and do you guys have a win song?
Actually, I do.
Nice.
I forget who it's by, but it's called Good Day, and yeah, the guys seem to like it, and I haven't been booted off music yet this year.
So how jubilant does it get in the dressing room? Are the guys start dancing around? Do you guys have anything you go through, or is it just turn it on loud and enjoy it?
Yeah, actually, Krebsy usually will hop up and start dancing if he's in a real good mood, and Casty's got some pretty good dance moves, but I usually just sit back and watch.
Good stuff. Lane Toter with us here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talk about this year and the opportunity that exists. You guys have been a pretty good start to the year. How do you look at your team so far?
Yeah, I think we're a really good team. We have all the pieces. We just need to figure out where to put them all. We're a very old team, and I think that with that experience, we're very lucky, and we're going to be able to do something special this year.
You're going to go on the road here real soon. Do you think this team needs a road trip? It always seems to be fun to kind of get away from it all and just bond together. Because I don't know, for fans maybe not familiar, you don't live all in the same area of the city. Some guys live up in the northwest. Some guys live in the southeast, southwest. You're kind of all over.
Yeah, I think that's fun. You get a roommate. You get to learn more about him. Especially for the young guys, you don't know much about them. So you try to learn as much as you can. And you're all in close, eating every meal together. And you start to chirp each other a little more, get closer, and yeah, it's a pretty fun experience on the road.
So we know Dakota Krebs is your D partner. Do you have a roomie on the road all the time, or is it different road, different roomie?
No, it's different every time. Last time I actually was lucky enough to room with Krebs. He has some weird things that he does, but it's so funny. He's a really good guy.
Can you give us some hints as to what makes him a unique guy? Is it what he watches on TV, or is he a guy that has the, you know, night goes out, he's got a night light on maybe to still feel safe, or does he make you read bedtime stories to him?
No, he's always telling stories, and he's always making people laugh. He's just an outgoing person, and that's just the kind of guy he is. He always wants to make you comfortable and make you laugh.
Oh, good stuff. Well, Lane, congrats on 150 games and continued success with the Calgary Hitmen here.
Thank you very much.
Calgary Hitmen blue liner Lane Toter, of course, mentioning that Calgary spending some time, all the players as a matter of fact, on Monday at the Big Four here in the city, mentoring some 800 minor hockey kids, talking about leadership. It was the third annual Hockey Calgary Leadership put on by Hockey Calgary. Calgary Hitmen mentors as part of that day. But one of the guest speakers was Flames head coach Bill Peters, of course, a graduate of the WHL. He once coached the Spokane Chiefs. Had a chance to talk to Bill about leadership. Bill, let's talk about leadership. As a coach, what do you want to see from your captains? Not only the captain himself, but the alternates.
Well, you know what? It's changed over the years. As you know, it used to be just three guys. Now is your leadership group. Now it goes five, six, seven deep on most teams, and some teams are very successful with different methods of not having a captain, rotating. But the big thing is, we're lucky here in Calgary with the Flames. We've got an unbelievable leader in Gio. And Gio's a guy who leads by example, and he speaks when he needs to, and when he speaks, guys listen. But he also needs help, and we've got guys that wear letters that help, but also guys that are behind the scenes that are real good leaders in their own way. They lead with an example, Travis Hamonic with Noah Hanifin. He supports him, talks to him, lends that veteran experience that Noah needs, even though Noah now is going into his fifth year, and that helps him. So, and the biggest thing is the message after the coaches have left the room has to be reinforced, and that's what your leaders do.
You talk about leadership beyond the letters on the jersey. What do you want to see from those guys?
Well, they've got to bring it. They've got to be as consistent as anybody. They've got to be able to feel confident to come into your office and talk to you about what's going on with the team, where they're at as we get into the season a little deeper, where their energy levels are, what we have to do with days off, pregame skates, and those types of things. And it's got to be a two-way street and a buy-in. So that's part of it from the coach to the players. But then obviously, too, they've got to hold each other accountable. And coaches do that, but when it's very powerful when the players hold each other accountable and have those hard meetings.
A lot of minor hockey kids at this leadership day. Let's talk to their, I guess, world, so to speak. Yeah. Because you look at it, some leaders are rah-rah, some are lead by example. I guess the message is there's no bad leadership, is there?
No, as long as it's positive leadership, there's many different ways to do it. But be who you are. Don't try and be something that you're not. And just be comfortable with the way you lead. If it's by example, then lead by example. If you're a vocal guy who's always up, then provide that vocal leadership. But also recognize what's needed and be able to read the room. Now, these guys are real young for that type of stuff, but I don't think there's ever a lack of energy amongst that age group. But just make sure you're being positive and being supportive of your teammates.
Last one for me. 7 years in the WHL. Yeah. You go out as a Memorial Cup champion with the Spokane Chiefs. How do you kind of reflect on your time in the Dub?
Well, I'm very proud of, obviously, my time there. And I was two different stints, one as an assistant coach, one as a head coach, in one of the, I think, best-run organizations in the Canadian Hockey League. Solid ownership. At the time, my GM was Tim Speltz. Very good for me as a mentor. Kept me in line as a young coach, was able to challenge me in a real professional manner to make me better. And to be able to go out on top is always special, so I'll never forget that.
Thanks for this.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Calgary Flames head coach Bill Peters. All right, time for our first break on the Hitman Hockey Hour. When we come back, we'll hear from Calgary Hitman defenseman Luke Prokop. It is his draft year. We'll get you his story and also talk about his passion for ball hockey. And a little bit later on as well, we'll hear about how the Calgary Hitmen are helping the Veterans Food Bank here in the city. That will go down on Sunday. But on the other side of the break, 4 years as a member of the Calgary Hitmen, we go down memory lane with former defenseman Mike Egner. He'll stop by the program next on your home of the Hitmen. It's the Hitmen Hockey Hour on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Hitmen Hockey Hour rolling along on your Saturday afternoon. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Brad Curl. Game day for Calgary tonight up in Edmonton. It's the Hitmen at 9-5-1-1 against the 12-2-3-1 Edmonton Oil Kings. We'll have the call for you internet only tonight at sportsnet.ca/960. You can click on the alt stream. Of course, the Flames and the Blues on the big network. You're on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. So Hitmen and Oil Kings on the alt stream again at sportsnet.ca/960. Broadcast begins at 7 o'clock. It'll be the fourth of eight regular season meetings between the two clubs. Since Calgary grabbed the opener in September, the Oil Kings have won the last two, including last Sunday's 3-2 victory at Scotiabank Saddledome. Well, this is the silver anniversary season for the Calgary Hitmen. That means 25 seasons in the WHL, and as the club celebrates its 25 years, a chance to catch up with some former alumni along the way. Mike Egner was a rugged defenseman. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Calgary Hitmen record guide, he's the all-time penalty minutes leader, over 704 minutes. Now he's a head coach with OHA Bantam Prep in Penticton, but Mike Egner patrolled the Hitmen blue line for 4 years and had a chance to sit down with a former defenseman. Okay, Mike, well, I guess for you, 4 years as a member of the Hitmen from 2000 to 2004, when you look back on your time with the Calgary Hitmen, what did it mean to you to play in the Western Hockey League and to do it in Calgary?
Well, yeah, it was, for me, growing up, We grew up out in eastern part of Canada, so I grew up watching the OHL. So along with obviously the NHL, that was kind of Major Junior was the thing that we really looked up to. So that was kind of my number one goal, you know, growing up, was to try and forge myself in the Western Hockey League. And I was obviously lucky to have been given the chance to do that with my hometown team in Calgary when we moved out when I was 14 years old. And so playing at home was great. Obviously having my family there to support and go home every night to a great meal with from Mama Eggs.
You look at your time, 224 games with the Hitmen, 37 points, a franchise record that still stands to this day, 704 penalty minutes. When you think back on those numbers, what stands out to you?
I was really selfish. No, the point-wise, for me, obviously, I was a little limited in that aspect. I just, you know, I tried to be a player that... you know, it was hard to play against every night. And that's kind of what I'm trying to strive with the kids that I have now that I coach, you know, is showing up every day and competing and giving your best. And I think for me, that's what I did. The physical side of things obviously was, you know, evident with, like you said, with the numbers that I had. And I don't know, I just tried to get my team going if I could through that avenue, or if I ever had to stick up for somebody. That was kind of my way to help out the team. That was kind of my role. And as a player myself, I thought I tried to show up every night and compete and make it tough on my opponents.
Yeah, no doubt. I had a chance to watch you in your time with the Calgary Hitmen, and a hard-nosed defender, stick up for your teammates, real tough to play against. Let's talk about some of those teammates. Matt Kinch, Pavel Brendl, Frederick Stustrom, Johnny Boychuk, Ryan Getzlaff, Brandon Siegel. You had a lot of teammates over those 4 years. Any one of those names jump out at you?
Well, they all do. They all, you know, it brings a smile to my face just thinking of those names. You know, Kinchy... I remember, you know, as a 16-year-old, he was one of those vets who was just made you feel welcome and made you feel part of the team. And I ran into him last year, actually, with his son was playing in the playing a game against us. And you know, so he was always just a you know, a good vet that made you feel welcome, like I said. And then a lot of those other guys, you know, you learn from them all. I mean. There was other guys that 16-year-old year that we had there that you tried to emulate, you know, in terms of work ethic and what they brought every day. And then, you know, guys that play with, like, Getzlaff. All I can remember is just how good he was with the puck and how his vision with the puck and, you know, looking and being able to see and make plays with the puck was so impressive. And, you know, and then, like you said, a guy like Brandon Siegel who showed up and worked hard every day and competed really hard. And, you know, he would, he's one of those guys that was always willing to go to the tough areas. And, obviously he's had a real good career. I think he just finished up. He was playing over in Germany, but yeah, it's, we're very fortunate. I think that's the one nice thing about Major Junior Hockey is you get to be surrounded by players like that sort of caliber. And if you've got the, you know, the heart and the work ethic, and then you know, you with that, and you learn from these guys. You know, it helps you be ultimately a better player.
We're with former Calgary Hitman Mike Egner here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Mike, not only were you a real tough defender on the ice, but you were a pillar in the community. Three times out of your four seasons with the Hitman, you took home the Humanitarian Award. Why was it so important for you to, you know, act as a role model in the community?
Yeah, I think you're given that opportunity to give back anytime you can. And again, it kind of goes back to those, you know, junior hockey days, my major junior hockey days when I used to go watch the OHL. And, you know, you see a lot of those guys helping out. You see them at your school or whatever it may be. And you want to be like them, right? Like, you want to be not only like them on the ice, but you want to be like them as people. And you know, for me, I was given that opportunity to help out in the community and whatnot, and I tried my best, you know, when given that opportunity to do it, and hopefully try and, you know, have other guys follow in the footsteps and help out when we can, because we're so lucky and fortunate to be able to be playing a game and be in that position to help out other people.
I know, Mike, that schooling is one of the challenges of juggling hockey in school when you're young, but you did that in spades, a two-time Scholastic Player of the Year. Maybe talk about how are you able to excel not only on the ice, but do it off the ice in the classroom as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is, you know, we talk a lot about it with our kids that we have here at the academy I coach at, and part of our league, the CSSHL, Canadian Sports School Hockey League. And, you know, you've got to put the same sort of work in that you do on the ice as you do off the ice. And, you know, hockey's going to be a short period of your life, and you got to be making sure you're staying on top of your studies and, you know, put the same sort of discipline and work ethic into those areas. So we had Bernie Bainock was down there, and he was great. He really helped us all out with our schooling and, you know, gave us help when we needed it, and obviously all the other teachers and whatnot. And you know, the WHL is a great avenue for that too, right, with the schooling and whatnot. And you don't get much better than that with you know, once the guys finish playing and they've got the scholarship and that sort of stuff and take advantage of it. My brother was one of the fortunate few to do that, but yeah, it's schooling's important, so try and stress that with the kids I'm coaching now.
Well, Bernie still works with the Hitmen, and he'd love to hear you say that. Schooling is important. Schooling is important. So, Mike, on behalf of Bernie, thank you for those words. Let's talk about your pro career. After the Hitmen, a lengthy career, nearly 500 games of pro hockey, 11 years. How do you look back on that time?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was able to obviously play with a whole bunch of teammates over the years and have lots of different coaches. And, you know, I just look at the whole experience. Obviously, it didn't work out the way I kind of wanted it to. My goal and dream was to play in the NHL, but there's other factors that kind of played into that, not allowing it to happen. But, you know, I still was really fortunate to enjoy my pro side of things. And like I said, yeah, the teammates and coaches and being in different places and new experiences and new countries. You know, I was able to play over in England, and my last year was able to get my master's, specializing in sports management. So I was able to do that, playing my last season of hockey. And I've got two young ones, so my daughter was born over in England, and we got to experience all that. And yeah, I have no regrets. It's made me into the person I am now. It's strengthened me into the person I am now, and now I can kind of relay that experience on to the kids I'm coaching.
Yeah, let's go full circle. So you went from a player to now a coach. You're with the OHA Bantam Prep in Kelowna. Just tell us about your role there and what it's like to work with these young kids that are chasing their WHL and pro dream.
Yeah. So I coach the Okanagan Hockey Academy. We're actually in Penticton. But it's been, you know, for myself, it's been a great spot to learn and develop as a coach. You know, when you come out of playing hockey, like you think you kind of, you know, you know lots about the game, obviously from playing and whatnot. But until you get into the coaching, you realize, you know, there's a lot more that goes into this. You know, in terms of not only just taking care of one person, but now you've got 19 players, and you've got a couple staff members or whatever it may be. And so there's a lot more that goes into it. So I've learned a ton in the last 4 years, you know, since being out with the academy there. Before I came out, I was with Mount Royal, and was able to learn for the 1 year there as assistant coach, learned lots. And then, yeah, I ventured out further west, and Dixon Ward, who's my boss, you know, he's got a good thing going out in Penticton, and we've got lots of other coaches with tons of experience, you know, that have played in NHL or played NCAA, played major junior, coached in the WHL, all over the place. So it's kind of I'm just really enjoying it and picking the brains of all these guys and trying to have that mindset of continually learning each and every day.
Last one for you, Mike, and I think this may be a good message for all coaches that are listening to this interview. How do you, you know, you've walked a mile as a player, now as a coach. How do you get, you know, 20 guys to come together, accept their roles, and basically become a family? Because you hear, you know, coaches at the NHL level talk about the margin for victory is so slim. It's quite often the team that comes together and can create an identity and play as one that has success. So how do you get, I guess, all these strangers to love each other and pull on the same rope in the same direction?
Yeah, it's trying to get rid of the egos. You know, I mean, naturally, everyone's got an ego, and trying to get everyone to be just one giant ego, and you know, making them realize, you know, when on the ice, it's not one guy's not going to get the job done. It's got to be all five guys collectively working together to accomplish, you know, a goal on that shift, or, you know, accomplish a goal in a game, and then obviously in a season. And the quicker you guys can come together, you can get them together, then obviously, you know, the success hopefully follows. And we're trying to do that now with the team that we have. We've got, you know, 19 kids that have come together this year, and, you know, it's just a daily process, continuing to stay on the task at hand and just keep working it one day at a time. And for our team, specifically here at the Vanham Age, we've you know, noticed big improvements with them. And yeah, that's just kind of our mindset. Just keep at them each and every day.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thanks for your time. In closing, anything else you want to say about your time with the Hitmen? Any memories or anyone you want to say hello to?
No, just an overall awesome organization. You know, we were treated really well there. I thoroughly enjoyed my time. Really good people. You know, and you look back, you hear it too. You know, when you're playing with guys in junior, just trying to remind you, you know, enjoy this time, because you turn pro and now you're competing with grown men and guys that got to put, you know, food on the table and whatnot. And juniors just, for me, it was the purity of it all. It was just a lot of fun. I have a lot of great memories there. Obviously, would have loved to have, you know, won a championship or whatnot. But it was a great time, great people, great coaches, great staff. Just, I have nothing bad to say about it. It was an awesome time.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thanks for your time, and good luck with the OHA Bantam Prep in Penticton this year.
Okay, thank you very much.
His former Calgary Hitmen defenseman, Mike Egner. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll introduce you to Calgary Hitmen defenseman Luke Prokop. He's in his second season in the Western Hockey League and eligible for this year's NHL draft. We'll also talk about how the Hitmen are helping the Veterans Food Bank here in the city. That will go down on Sunday. That is the Hitmen Hockey Hour continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's a game day for the Calgary Hitmen as we welcome you back to the Hitmen Hockey Hour. Oil Kings and Hitmen tonight, 7 o'clock up in Edmonton. A couple of game stories for tonight. Riley Stotts will play career game 200 in the Western Hockey League for Calgary. And a milestone chaser, the captain Mark Kastelic, just two goals away from 100. Will tonight be the magic night for the captain? We'll find out. Hitmen and the Oil Kings, 7 o'clock up in Edmonton. Catch the broadcast, by the way, on the alt stream tonight at sportsnet.ca/960. Well, Hitmen teammates Riley Fiedler-Schultz and Luke Prokop will be collecting donations to the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary tomorrow. On Sunday, November 10th, they'll be parked outside the Calgary Co-op in Signal Hill. That's at 4940 Richmond Hill from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. All non-perishable items will be accepted with an emphasis on breakfast items. Those who donate, by the way, will receive a signed autograph card. So the Hitmen helping out the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary, and I am told it is in crisis mode this year. Donations are down, and there is some tremendous need for the veterans. Again, Riley Fiedler-Schultz and Luke Prokop collecting donations tomorrow. On Sunday, November 10th, from 10 till 4, outside the Calgary Co-op in Signal Hill. We'll hear from Fiedler-Schultz a little bit later on. He'll tell us why he's part of this program. But now, time now to catch up with Hitmen defenseman Luke Prokop. We talk everything from ball hockey. Yeah, he's real good at that. In fact, he's a national champ, and also the NHL draft. Luke, for you, I know on paper it's year two, but it's almost like year number three because you played 14 games as a 15-year-old. When you look back on that, how beneficial was it to get those reps in as an affiliate player?
I think it just gave me a little bit of more confidence coming to my rookie season. I kind of knew the pace and how the team plays, and overall I think it just helped me just get more comfortable with the guys in the room, and I think it showed kind of in my rookie season. I wasn't too flustered by a lot of stuff. I kind of was composed, which is something I like to pride myself in. So that season was huge for me.
Last year, as a rookie, it's interesting because you played in 62 games. Sometimes first-year players get in, they get out, and it's, you know, you got to earn your ice time. But for you, the opportunity came right away. How nice was that for the coaches to put trust in your game early?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, and they're stressing that a lot this year is the trust factor. Just trusting to put you out in certain situations, and obviously with the trust they had in me last year, gave me a lot of confidence to just go out and play my game. And I think that kind of showed towards the end of the year when I realized that they were putting me out in those situations to help the team succeed. So getting that trust was a really fulfilling feeling.
Your sophomore season this year, you're already more than halfway to your point total from a year ago. How would you look back on your start to this season?
I'd say I thought my preseason was really good. I thought I implemented all the stuff I wanted to that I did in the off, that I worked really hard on in the off season. And then the first couple games of the regular season, I kind of had a dip. I wasn't, you know, jumping up in the rush. I wasn't kind of adding to the offense. And I think these past four or five games, I've been doing that a lot more. And obviously the point totals have come up because of that. It's really hard to get, you know, points just off the blue line in this league. You have to add to the offense, jump up in the rush, stuff like that. So I think just the off season that I had and the stuff that I worked on probably was the biggest thing to why my point totals are going up from last year.
Let's pull back the curtain a little bit to your off season. What are some of the finer details you worked on when you had that time?
I just probably just growing my craft offensively. I mean, I think I've known that I've kind of been a defensive defenseman at heart. And there have been some seasons where I've had some high point totals just playing with really good players. And obviously playing in those top situations, whereas here I might not get those opportunities. But here there's great players, so I just kind of have to do a little bit more than I did back in Bantam and Midget just to get those points, because they're not going to come as easy as they would back in those days.
The game of hockey is played on the ice, but you like to play it off the ice as well. Tell me about your love of ball hockey and where that all began.
Yeah, it was surprising on how I fell in love with it, and I have for sure. It was the summer. It was actually the day before the Bantam draft. I was at an Oilers game with my buddy, and he was kind of talking. He's played ball hockey for 2 or 3 years before me, and he was just talking about how fun it was. And I kind of asked him if I could join the team or whatever, and he thought it was a great idea. So that all started. Went to Nationals. Ended up winning Nationals in a shootout, which was pretty intense, and then got to be able to represent Canada the year after, go over to Europe and play, win a gold medal there, and captain the team, which was amazing. And then last year, I got to go to men's Nationals, actually. And then I also got an invite to go to Europe this year, but it conflicted with the draft, so I wasn't able to participate. But it's just something that I think brings the game of hockey side to it, but it's also something that I just have fun with, and it's fun to be with the boys and do something a little bit different.
Anyone who's ever played ball hockey can tell you there's no gliding. There's a lot of sweating and a lot of work. Does it help your skills translate to back to the ice?
Well, obviously it's great for conditioning, because like you said, you can't glide at all. Your feet always have to be moving. It helps a lot with hand-eye too, because the ball is bouncing around. It's not a soft ball either, so it's bouncing around and stuff like that. It's other than that, it's pretty similar to ice hockey. You know, the skills are the same, and if anything, it's just kind of harder to get your shots off, just because sometimes the ball is rolling and stuff like that, and that can be similar to ice hockey when you get a puck that's rolling or a puck that's coming in at a hard speed. But other than that, just those main things of the conditioning side is probably the biggest thing that I can take away from it.
We're with Hitman defenseman Luke Prokop here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You're playing with your brother. This is the second year you've got a chance. What's it been like to experience the WHL life with him?
Yeah, it's something that it's been pretty cool. I was talking to Mommer actually about it, and he says that from his perspective, it's probably cooler from the guys that's seeing it than what I actually think it is. because sometimes coming to the rink, I just see him as like another teammate or something like that, and I don't realize how special it is till probably a couple of years down the road, and when we're parted ways and stuff like that. But it's good to lean on him, like I've said always, in the tough times and stuff like that, and we do that mutually. But he's been a great teammate to me and a great brother, and I think our relationship has grown since playing together.
Maybe a nice reminder about how unique it is when you see this week Ozzy and Orca get to play against each other for the first time, and how much excitement there was for those two.
Yeah, it was obviously exciting for Orca to play against his brother and kind of beat him out with the two goals, and kind of I gave him the game belt just saying he was the better Wiseblatt that night. And I think it was cool for those two guys to have that game. Obviously Peyton and Dakota had that last year. And it's just the brother rivalry, I think, just comes out in all of us when growing up, and when we get onto the ice, it's easy for us to just get back into that rivalry. So it's pretty cool for those guys.
Sounds like a bird in the background, but it's actually Devin Clausen from Crooked Creek. I don't know if he's getting ready for hunting season or not, but a couple more for you. Your draft year this year, how much talk have you had with scouts? Do they come see you after games?
I've had a talk with a couple teams. The past two or three games I've had talks with scouts. I try not to focus on it too much. You know, Jeff will just give me a text a couple days before the game of which game it is that they'll want to talk to me after. And I just go and kind of play my game, and then I kind of actually have to get a reminder that I have to go have a meeting with a scout, because I try not to focus on it too much.
That's probably the best way to handle it. Last one for you. Look in this dressing room. What do you like about this team?
I mean, we got a lot of skill, and I think that's something that we can't rely on, though. We have to work hard, and our work ethic has been on and off the past couple of games. And we're a great team in this league. We're a top team. So I think if we hone in our work ethic, if we stay disciplined to the way Hammy wants us to play, then there's the sky's the limit for this team.
Luke, thanks for this and continued success.
Yeah, thanks, Curly.
It's Calgary Hitmen blue liner Luke Prokop. Well, he and teammate Riley Fiddler Schultz will be helping out the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary. Had a chance this week to talk to Riley about what's going on tomorrow. Riley, you're going to help the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary this weekend. Maybe just explain what you're doing.
Yeah, me and my teammate Luke Prokop are going to stand outside the co-op on Richmond Road Sunday, November 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. just collecting food and gift card donations for the Veterans Food Bank.
So people can come by. What do they get when they meet you guys?
Yeah, for sure. You can get an autograph card or a picture, sign something, whatever you want, and then just drop off your donation, whatever it may be. Any little thing helps. So, yeah, I'm really hoping for good support this year.
Now, we've heard that the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary is in a crisis state right now. It needs a lot of donations. And it's interesting on the backstory that you think veterans, you think of senior citizens. That's not the case. There's a lot of veterans who've just come back from serving in Afghanistan, and they're down on their luck, and they're looking for support. So this is a great cause. How did you come up with this idea?
A couple of years ago, I had this same fundraiser in Fort Saskatchewan. We just donated it to the local food bank that time. And we were hoping we could do it last year, but our schedule didn't work out so that we could. But we're really excited to do it again this year.
When you look at this cause, what does it mean to you to be able to give back to the city? Because it is a great initiative.
Yeah, for sure. I always like to use my platform as a Hitman player in the best way as I can, because I am so fortunate. And to hear that the people who serve to protect our country are struggling so much, it's a terrible thing. And I just want to help as much as I can.
Well, great on you and Luke as well, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
And forward, Riley Fiddler Schultz. Again, he, along with teammate Luke Prokop, will be outside the Calgary Co-op in Signal Hill tomorrow, Sunday, November 10th, from 10 until 4, collecting donations for the Veterans Food Bank. Well, that's our show this week on the Hitman Hockey Hour. We want to thank all of our guests for stopping by, Riley Fiddler Schultz, along with Luke Prokop. Hitman alumnus Mike Egner swung by as well, as did Hitman defenseman Lane Toter, the captain Mark Kastelic, and we even heard from Flames head coach Bill Peters. Well, that's a wrap. On behalf of our entire crew, this is Brad Curl saying thanks for listening to the Hitman Hockey Hour, heard every week here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.